Matthew Gospel chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And we'll begin at verse number 21. The governor answered and said unto them, Whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be. They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. Now turn to the book of Acts for two final readings that are well known in chapter 26, please. And verse number 27, this is Paul's defense before King Agrippa. In verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am. Accept these bonds. Chapter 24 for a final reference. Verse 24, And after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. That's all we'll read, and I trust God will help us to conclude the meeting with what we have heard already. I want to look at these three passages very simply. They're really a crisis in each one of them. And after all, what we're preaching in the gospel is really a crisis in a man's life or a woman's life. Something that crosses their path when they have to come to a definite decision in their own mind what they're going to do either with Christ or the message that is presented in the gospel. And I would like tonight to conclude the meeting as if this was your last night. Say, if you could just capture in your mind that this is your last opportunity, your last night, the last time to hear the gospel, the last time to come to a meeting where a Bible is open, the last time where two men would stand publicly and preach the gospel of God's grace as you've already heard. And we would like you to just think, now what am I going to do tonight? Say that this was the last, the meetings were closing, the last night. The Lord is about to come. No more opportunities, tomorrow the hall's closed, there's no more gospel meetings, and you're sitting in your last meeting. Friend, I trust that God will impress that upon my heart as well upon yours. Now I want you to notice that the crisis, the three crises are these. It's sad to know that the three men that are before us will look back from a long eternity. The first one, Pilate, will look back when he rejected the man of Jesus. That will ever, ever, ever fill with remorse his soul that I rejected the man through that sin. When I live in Agrippa, I believe we're going to look at a man to look back from a long eternity, listen, he's learned that. But he's going to look back to his crisis from when he rejected the message. He's going to look back to his crisis from when he rejected the message.
He wasn't pierced to pierce what the man is fighting for. Kind of looked into the pierced eyes of the cross. Literally. But my Phoenix is hearing a message about that same person. And with Agrippa, and Agrippa is going to look back at the rejection of the message. When I think of a Phoenix, listening to the same man Paul preach, I believe this man Phoenix will look back, not so much to a man, not so much to a message, but to a woman. He said, go thy way, for this time that I can be here. In other words, friend, I would like to impress on my audience tonight, there isn't time by us unseen that crosses every time. The hidden boundary between God's patience and His wrath. My friend, tonight you could just be sitting in the seat of tonight under the beams of the glorious dynamic energy of God's wonderful, powerful gospel, and friend, under the beams of a Christ that loves you, and you can make a decision in that seat that will cause you to look back for all eternity. Then when I look at a pilot, I feel for him. Before him stands the Lord Jesus. I'm not going into the background. I haven't time for that. Just now. But Christ is about to be crucified. He's been given a mock trial. He's before the people. They're seeking his blood is dead. And Pilate's looking at him, and within Pilate's heart, I can almost hear him breathing and saying, I know he's innocent, I know he's genuine, I know he's perfect, there's something about him, I fear him. But all then, Pilate will never forget when he heard that whisper. It almost must have been like thunder in his soul. If you let this man, Jesus, go, you're not Caesar's friend. You're not this with Caesar, the power of Rome. And then he comes round and looks at him, and he says these words, this question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What am I going to do with this man? You know, friend, tonight, that is, as we often point out, the old preachers preaching, we just repeat what they said. This question, friend, defies neutrality. You can't be neutral. You can't sit in this meeting even if you don't hear my voice. And even if you haven't heard Mr. Message, friend, even your eyes, your ears are closed to it, friend, you're going to do something tonight. But the Lord Jesus, there's no way around it. It's not a question you can obtain. You're either going to refuse him or receive him. You're either going to reject him or you're going to embrace him. When I look back on the wrong side with God's hand, my poor, perishing, dark soul friend, I tremble to look back. You know why? I felt that night that my hand was up, but salvation, I would never get it. Heaven's looking down in this meeting. Saints are praying in this meeting. Preachers are feeling the weight of this meeting. And the Spirit of God is present in this meeting. And the Word of God is opened in this meeting. And brethren, that you're right to the back of the hall. Don't try to put over your shoulder, friend. You can't do it. And don't try to pass the buck and say someone else. Use this command as an individual from the front of the back. And you'll come to this decision. I have to do something with that man of power. This man.
Many have sold my friend like Pilate,
who, my friend, listening to the heads of the servants, calling to the crowd, Lord, not sweet with them that I let that you let this man go, my friend. It will haunt the memory of hell, God of this forever.
And in those waves of eternal judgment of a wolf, I rejected that man who loved me. I rejected that man who died for me. I rejected that man whose blood so freely flowed at Calvary.
And now I'm in the darkness of despair forever. And don't you ever think that if you are fucking hell, you will not have it.
I heard them come up with that bit remark when I was looking at my things. And I want to tell you, friend, if you're
trying to live it up and down before under the bright lights in a world of pleasure and sin,
with all the friends and companions you will learn it with,
there's not one of them.
There's only one person you can depend on and live hard upon him,
is the Lord Jesus. I know the Christians rally around you, and you get saved, and even you're not saved to pray for your friend, but the only one you can fully trust,
the man of Calvary. I love him tonight. Lord Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine.
Thy rock, my fortress, my surety divine, my gracious Redeemer, my strong Sabbath. Is thou, Lord, love, worthy, Lord Jesus, where did the man Christ then? What are you going to do with him tonight?
He's presented in the gospel. I would like
to present him more graphically, as the Galatian epistle puts it.
Set Christ before you graphically, friend, that you couldn't refuse him.
He's great. He's wonderful. He's everything.
I go to bed thinking about it.
Not the way I should, but I never sleep without saying a little dirt before I go to
bed.
I'm waking in the morning, I try to waken when I thought again.
Oh, friend, I'm going to ask you the same question I've asked
many an audience. What comes quickest to your mind when you think of Christ?
What searches into the soul? What thrills the heart?
Not so much as earth, but thrills my heart and comes more readily to mind than anything else about us. Christmas is this. Where was you tonight? Drive to the back of the hall. Come on now.
Boy, girl, you're in your teenage life. You are a little older.
You're playing fast and loose up to the present moment. What about the man, Pilate? Pilate, what did you do with him that day? I listened to the crowd.
I was afraid of my face before the Caesar in Rome.
You know something? I've often thought of Pilate had a death to Christ. Even if he had a diamond across the side of him, then work it through.
Dear John Brown,
the great Scots preacher who saw souls born to Christ during the Covenanter days, to put a bounty upon his head of so many thousand pounds, as travel across his wicked dragoons or soldiers sought after the life of godly John Brown, he had to flee to the hills, Anthony.
Shelters of the hills of Scotland to evade the awful army that was after him.
Finding one day up in a little flat cottage, he's in there with his wife, when suddenly the soldiers, the dragoons appear.
And she come out of the
the door holding a little child in her hand was Mrs. Brown. As she stood there, this is where's her husband? And as she was asked the question out to John, her mighty warrior of the cross, I'm going to meet him up there, John. Meet you up there. With all the hosts that have gone before, wonderful to see when I find for the night. As they stood there, Samuel House, his voice rang out to the soldiers, shoot the bell! Where the musket was left. Those dragoons looked into the face almost of the cross. They saw a godly John Brown, so innocent, so lovely, their service. Finally, Claverhouse lifted the musket, fired, and down he went. His dear wife went over, lifted up the head that was bloody, as it says, John, you never looked so lovely. Never looked so lovely. And then she looked at Claverhouse, courageous woman. She said, I would, sir, God so permit, you would lay me down the sea, but remember your days. But I want to tell you, the atheist, the skeptic, the Christian's child. But if Christ were then a savior, you'll have to meet that man. I'm going to meet him with joy and delight and step into his presence. I would grab to embrace him and to kiss his blessed feet and to tell him with joy and gladness without a rebel, without a hindrance, Lord Jesus. Our Lord and Yahweh. Right, what about the man? I'll tell you something. You trust this man, you never will see him.
Your religion puts a new coat on a man.
That's all it can do. But God's salvation puts a new man in the coat. And my friend, what sinners need is the new man in the coat. They need Christ. Gold in the heart.
West man, hell. Friend, Pilate's looking back. Could I draw the curtain over?
Where am I, Pilate, on the depths of despair, wondering endlessly in this awful place, what hangs you the most? Tell us, eyes, let me hear what hangs you the most. That these people might listen. And he said, tell them. The man haunts me the most.
What man? The man called Jesus. I can still see his face as I'm in the flame.
I can still see his face as I'm going through the surges of darkness. It haunts me, the man. You know, Julian, that atheist, he comes to the end of life.
When the battle's raging and he doesn't want to
fall in the enemy's hands, he takes his old sword to fall upon it and he shouts,
"Thou hast conquered, thou lowly Galilean." I tell you, friends, you're either going to meet him in Greece or meet him in church. Take one, he said, what are you going to do with the man? I hope the listen back in your mind and made a wise choice.
I want to think of the message. You know, it's not so much saying Christ physically. He can't do that. He's died, he's rose, risen again, he's in heaven, he's ascended, he's glorified. But we have a message. And here's a cover.
And Paul's before him in defense. I love Paul.
Next to the Lord Jesus, he fills my heart. You know something about Paul, he wants to? I don't know. I want to get some enthusiasm, Maria.
I want to get something into my soul, even,
that will help me in the pathway to glory. I like to read of that man. He was a firebrand, walked on the board, and he turned around and he gave everything to his master. Since my friend, that man lived, you know, instead of George Whitfield, Spurgeon said of George Whitby, some people are half alive. George Whitby was all life. Paul was all life for his master. Standing before King Agrippa, he's not terrible. He's looking into the face of a king. He presents a message to him, having told his conversion. Soon going to die in a martyr's death is the servant of Christ. He looks into the eyes of King Agrippa. Must have been a very solemn meeting. And the message pours out of his heart from the depths of his being. The man of death for those not seen. He covered every man for Christ. It says to him, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets I know were about. You know, friend, you believe the Bible. Come on now, you will deny it. That book that you hold in your hand, that book that you read, you know it's true, it's real. You might not understand its contents, but there it is. There's something about that Bible. It's the incorruptible seed.
Believest thou the prophets? I know what thou believest.
Remember what Paul said to him in that occasion, you know, the things wrought by speak. This thing concerning Christ and his death, the suffering, it wasn't done in that corner. You know all about that? Can you almost hear that key as he looks into the face of that dear servant of Christ? Chains holding him. Chains bound up like this.
He looks into the face of that big key.
Paul, the name is right, it means small, that small Jew.
Must have been tremendous.
And all the courtyard filled, and all the place filled. As Paul says, well, he was not a house. This thing is not going to come. The devil says, almost. Life for shames. Louis said this ago, you've almost persuaded me to take the message for myself.
Paul,
I can almost accept that message that you're telling me. I can almost embrace it and take that word for it.
I'm only scared, Paul!
Like your servant says, good to God and not only God, but all hear me this day. We're almost, but all together, as I accept these bonds, gentle my loss. Friend, you know something? I've read the word on you now. Oh, you've finished with your big position on life, and all the applause. And all the grandeur, and all the luxury, and all the sin, and all the pleasure, and all the immoral practices, they're all past now, you're gone into eternity. What haunts you the most? I can almost hear him say, tell them. That message burns in my soul, and won't bear. Can't get rid of it. It disturbs my soul. It hammers on my conscience. It troubles my spirit. But it was almost all the devil lost. The night is somewhere in this meeting tonight, and you're almost to Christ. Almost to the Savior. Almost to trust Him. Almost at the door. Many were once as near heaven as thou. They lingered and lost their day. They're weeping, really and wandering now. And the coast will be cast away.
Friend, tonight, the message. Don't reject it. I want to get to my final word, friend.
Felix, this Odysseum preacher, Paul the Apostle, as he brings the weight of his message of righteousness, temperance and judgment, I haven't time to go into what they mean. It's a solemn, searching message to Felix, the uncontrollable. the unrighteous, the man that deserved the judgment. And I can hear that man, Felix, breathe out. Yeah, Paul, I know you're saying it's right and it's real, and I feel it. Makes me tremble. Makes me tremble. Well, it might, friend. You know something? It's rare we see people tremble today. But if God come among us just for 5 minutes, your body would shake, friend. And your soul would tremble over the brink of eternity. You know, Felix is gone. Here Pilate's gone, he's looking back to the face of a man that could have saved him. If it was looking back to a message that he had responded, he could have been with Paul in heaven. And dear Felix is looking back, and it's going to haunt him all that moment, when a true soul turns back. You know, friend, I believe God brings a person to a moment. I really do. A moment. Brought me to a moment on the roadside, I'll never forget it. Yes, I was crying. Crying didn't save me either. I was 21 then, my friend. I'm not ashamed to tell you that tears ran thick and fast and my soul trembled as I thought of meeting God and Christ with a praying mother and father yonder praying for me, friend, and Christians praying and some fervor in the office that I never thinking about you. And yet, friend, in my sin plunging all the darkness and ruin the night, I tremble when I think God could have passed me by. He should have. But he didn't. Yonder on the roadside near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy finally, there the bright and morning star shed his beams around me. I'll never forget the moment I fell in love with a man I never saw. Pushing me, died for me. I've been telling him that for 38 years, feebly and very meagerly, friend, my heart should be more exuberant, my joy should be fuller, my heart should be thrilled, my spirit should rejoice. When I think of that moment, friend, I wonder will there be anyone here from the front seat to the back. And from this meeting, friend, you're going to look back from eternity. And you're going to curse the memory of the man that died, of the message that was proclaimed, of the moment that was struck. Dear boy lying in his deathbed, 19 years of age, and I'm not saying this to be emotional, but I know it to be a true fact, and I know that the authenticity of the story, the parents wouldn't go in to see him. You know why? The parents were going to heaven, and that boy's days were numbered, in fact his hours were numbered, and he was going down to hell, not saved. And a nurse went in to see him. And she came in the request of the parents. And she bent down and she lifted his head, but he hadn't got the power to raise his hand.
Brother, it's time he got real.
And it's time sooner you were real, and it's time you were real, friend. When it comes to the shadows of death and soon to leave, my friend, everything of reality leaves, and all reality grips the soul, and that boy's going to go at 19. And this dear nurse poured into his ear that beautiful, glorious, golden text. Should have And then she poured Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. Then she poured all the great scriptures. She said, can you not believe it? Can you not take it in? Can you not understand he died for you? And the boy kept doing this.
In one breath, almost just about one breath left,
he was saying something. You listening, boy? You can hear what I'm saying right now. Now you put up your hand and say a little louder, or I'm going to say very, very, very low. She put down her head to listen to the last breath.
What the boy said?
The harvest is vast. Summer's end. And I am not saved. Amen.
Did you hear me down there? Friend, don't fool with it. Don't play with it. Be honest, be real. The man, the message, the moment. This could be well your last night. Shall we pray? Our Father, we bow in thy presence humbly. What can we say, Lord, unless thou dost take thy word in the power of the Spirit and bring it home to the hearts of those present who are not saved? We can accomplish nothing. But we're dependent upon thee and thankful that there's potency in the gospel preached. There's power in the word. There's power enough in Jesus' blood to save the sin-sick soul. We think of this audience tonight. We thank thee for the attention. Lord, may no one leave this meeting careless, foolish, rejecting the greatest man, the greatest message, and the most solemn moment. Lord, grant they may be recipients of that gospel tonight. Help us to conclude with a hymn. O God, we often sing, what if the word were passed, this night should be thy last. Where would thy soul be cast? Where hide thy face? Lord, receive thanks for salvation. Save others, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to sing a verse of that hymn 89. Hymn number 89. One verse of this hymn and the meeting is concluded. And it's the last verse, number 2. Oh, what will you do with Jesus? The call comes low and clear. The solemn words are sounding in every listening ear. Eternal life's in the question, and joy through eternity. Then what will you do with Jesus? Or what will your answer be? The last verse in the meeting is concluded.